Holy Father, our Father and God in heaven, Father, we thank you for the trials and we thank you for the triumphs. Father, we thank you for the trials to remind us that we are nothing and we need you in everything. And we thank you for the triumphs because it's your glory that we get victory. And so, Father, today, I'm a man of dust and flesh. I am mortal, Father, and I'm fallible. So, Father, in spite of myself, I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. May I be a blessing, not a curse, your people. And so, Father, this is a sensitive topic. And so, Father, give me wisdom up on high to use your words and not my words, that your people will be blessed by the preaching of the word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On April 29, 2019, the President of the United States asked the Department of Homeland Security to develop proposals requiring those that are seeking asylum to pay a processing fee for their applications and to severely limit their access to work permits. Now, what's interesting is that asylum is a legal status granted to refugees. Most likely, refugees do not have money to pay for these processing fees. Now, a refugee is a person outside his or her country of nationality who is unable or unwilling to return to his or her country of nationality because of persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion. This is from the Department of Homeland Security. And this issue of asylum and immigration has gripped our nation in a profound way. This topic is a very sensitive topic of mine because my parents were once refugees. When the Korean War broke out 69 years ago, my father's family was displaced from their homes, escaping from the communists, for the communists were there to murder all the Christians that they could come across. And so we praise God for the United States allowing opportunities for those in different countries that are oppressed to come here for a new opportunity. But what's sad is, regardless of the political divide, some of the sentiments within Seventh-day Adventists as I scour social media. And it's sad that partisan politics, either from the left or the right, have penetrated even our church. And so in our afternoon study, if you want to remain, we'll be dealing with how Seventh-day Adventists should react to partisan politics as we approach an election. Now, it's very interesting that asylum is given to those that are escaping persecution. In fact, there was a group that was unable and unwilling to return because of persecution. Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 shows us a prophetic situation where there were a group of refugees that were seeking asylum for a prophetic event that happened of persecution. The Bible says this, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And so we see here that a woman is being persecuted by the serpent. And she is in the wilderness for a time and times and half a time. Now, we know the woman represents the church in Bible prophecy. In fact, it gets more specific in the Bible. Notice what the Bible says. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, we identify that the woman is in the wilderness for a time, times, and half a time. And us students of Bible prophecy, we know that this is 1,260 years. From 538 to 1798, a papal supremacy where church and state, where government and politics merged, and that led to persecution and intolerance. And we see here that the woman was nourished for times, times, and half a time. Now in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, the Bible says this, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and to think to change times and laws, and they shall be given to his hand unto what time? Times and dividing a time. Notice, same time period, time, times, and half a time. Time, times, and dividing a time. Here it says the woman. Here it says the saints of the Most High. So we could conclude that this woman, or the saints of the Most High, represents the church. Amen. The Bible interprets itself. So the church is being persecuted and is in the wilderness for 1,260 years. Now, when you look at the Bible and you look at sacred history, wilderness represents one, a great trial. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. Was it a cakewalk? No. Were there trials? Was there challenges? And there were trials. Look at Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. Was there a trial? Was there a temptation? So wilderness represents trial and temptation. And so the woman was in trial and temptation for 1,260 years, or the church was in trial or temptation for 1,260 years. And so God's church was being persecuted. Now, what was the method of the church being persecuted? Because there is a method of this persecution. Notice the Bible says in Revelation 12:15, the Bible says this, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. So the persecution of the serpent or the dragon was water as a flood. Now this water as a flood represents something very significant. Notice what the Bible says in Revelation 17:15. The Bible says this, the water which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. But it gets deeper. The Bible also says floods. Floods represents this, Psalms 18:4. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men. So ungodly men of peoples, multitudes, and tongues sought to destroy God's church by the method of persecution from the dragon. So the serpent attempted to destroy God's people with water. Water represents people from many nations. Now, one of the most diverse continents on earth is Europe. Now, in the United States, in North America, we have very few language diversity. We have English, and we have Spanish, and we have Portuguese in Brazil. Three languages. But in Europe, you had different nations, many nations, and you had different tongues and different peoples. In fact, the languages of Europe include German, Italian, English, French, Russian, Romanian, Slovak, Serbian, Greek, various languages, various nationalities. So we have to conclude that this is happening in Europe. See, the Bible is logical. And so we see here that for 1,260 years, that God's church was being persecuted by different nations, peoples, and tongues, a flood of ungodly men and women that demonstrated intolerance. But with every persecution, God has a deliverance plan. For every trial, God has a way of escape. You know, as humans, we want things instantaneously. We want things now. But God's timing is not our timing. And God's timing happens at the point where we're at apparent defeat, there's ultimate victory. And so if you're in a trial right now, and you feel that everything is going down in your life, that you feel like you're about to give up, and you're an apparent failure, know this. Ultimate victory is coming in the horizon. Amen. The church may appear to about to fall, but it will not fall. You see, look at Jesus on the cross. It was apparent failure for Jesus. All his disciples forsook him and left. His ministry was gone. He had no supporters. He was dying as a criminal. But that apparent failure was ultimate victory, because after his death, he was resurrected, and the apparent failed movement became the greatest movement ever in human history. Amen. So if you're going through a trial right now, know this. Victory is coming. Amen. God is seeking to develop patience through this trial so that we can develop trust in him. If things happen instantaneously, we take it for granted. That's human nature.
That's right.
And so God prolongs trials so that we can develop patience, because the quality that we need to be prepared for Jesus to come is patience.
Hallelujah.
Here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And love endureth all things, hopeth all things, love suffereth long. And so when someone is irritating you, God has ordained that person or that individual to prepare you for Jesus to come. Is there a husband and wife that you get fights with? Your husband and wife is your greatest instrument for your salvation that God uses to prepare you. That develops patience, because patience come from not good situations, but unfavorable situations. You don't develop patience when things are good because you enjoy it. Patience is a response to unfavorable situations. And so the church was enduring great trial because God was developing patience in his people. But God will also deliver his people when it looks like it was apparent defeat, ultimate victory. And so God did something special when the waters of persecution came and it looked like the church was about to be destroyed. It felt like God's truth will be destroyed. It felt like the despisers of truth, from the Waldenses on down to the Protestants, there was great persecution. It looked like apparent defeat. But God sent help to the church. And notice what the Bible says in Revelation 12, 16. The Bible says this. And the earth, what did the earth do?
Help
the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. In other words, God had the earth, which is symbolic of something, help the church when the floods of ungodly men were seeking to destroy the church, open up the flood, and rescued the church. This church of refugees. Now, water and earth are two different elements. Is that correct?
Yes.
We have water, which is wet, earth, which is dry. Now, the Bible says in prophecy that water represents a heavily populated area. And because the earth is opposite, we could determine and conclude that is a lesser or least populated area. So this nation or this geographic area is opposite to that of Europe. And what area allowed for Protestantism, true Christianity, to develop and thrive, to allow refugees to seek asylum to a particular place? What area was that? It is the United States of America or North America. God will deliver his people when it looks like they will be destroyed. And we know, and I say this, there's two holidays that we as Seventh-day Adventists can agree and celebrate. You know, some people debate whether or not we should celebrate Christmas. Some people debate whether or not we should celebrate Easter. I don't get into that. But there are two holidays that we as Seventh-day Adventists could just celebrate without a guilty conscience. Thanksgiving and the 4th of July. You see, what happened here was this. When the pilgrims came to North America, that was the fulfillment of this prophecy of the woman being helped by the earth, because the pilgrims were escaping persecution. Now, the Bible says this in Revelation 12, 17, that the woman had the remnant of her seed, right? A remnant of her seed, or a offspring. There was a very significant passenger in the Mayflower, where the pilgrims came. Notice, James White, autobiography, Life Instance, page 9. My father descended from one of the pilgrims who came to America in the ship Mayflower and landed upon Plymouth. And so in the very ship was the ancestor of one of the founders of God's remnant church. The ship itself was one of prophetic destiny. And so, God established this nation or this geographic area for asylum for Christian refugees or religious refugees to escape persecution from church-state systems. And pilgrims came, and they established their community in New England. And now, granted, the pilgrims also had elements of the spirit of the papacy, because what you see is what you think. Yeah, what you see is what you get. You develop what you see is what you believe. And so they came out of a system where they too were intolerant. They were intolerant to the Native Americans. They were intolerant to various other beliefs that were contrary to them. And so God was still refining them from their earthliness, from the legacy of being a church-state system. But as the United States developed, God sent more people to hone and develop and refine America. You see, one thing that I learned as a teacher is this. Nothing happens overnight. Everything's a process. You need to be patient. And so, yes, America did very, very terrible things in the past. And it does very many terrible things. But God is still trying to work in us, because if we're cast out with one flaw in our lives or what we did in the past, how many of us are going to be saved? None. We should extend that same mercy to one another. And so, as the pilgrims developed and Protestantism took root, God sent a Baptist minister named Roger Williams. And Roger Williams is one of my great heroes in American history, because Roger Williams established the idea that church and state should be separate, that no government should be involved in the church, and no church should be involved in the government. In fact, Roger Williams says that it stinks to my nostrils if church and politics mix together, because that leads to persecution. And another thing is this. Roger Williams, he dealt with the Native Americans very humanely. He didn't take their land. He bought land from them. So he was a true Protestant, true Christian at his word. And so the United States started developing and established what's called Protestant and Republican ideals, one that separated church and state, aware where people who are oppressed can seek asylum and to freely thrive. This freedom from persecution, this freedom from oppression, because the church never told churches how to think. The churches developed their own idea. And the true Protestantism is this. Protestantism, in its sole essence, is this. Everyone is a priesthood of believers. Everyone can study the Bible for themselves. And everyone, each individual, can arrive truth by the aid of the Holy Spirit. A pastor doesn't have to aid the person. You yourself, when you study the Word of God, God can speak to you as an individual. Amen. That is true Protestantism. And the true Protestantism that the Bible and the Bible only, the just shall live by faith, revolutionized Europe. It challenged the church-state system, because the papacy said, you have to believe how we believe, or else you die. You have to conform to the way we conform in order to have a standard of living that is livable. But Protestantism says this, we don't need a priest, we don't need a government, we don't need an institution to tell us what to do. We have the Bible, we are saved by grace as individuals, and we as individuals can arrive to truth in our own. And the seed of Protestantism led to democracy. I'm a U.S. history teacher, I hope you don't mind. And so Protestantism developed in America. And then the Revolutionary War happened. And we had the Declaration of Independence. In fact, July 4th is not America's birthday. It was where America declared independence. If you want to get technical, America's birthday is when the Constitution was ratified. That's in May. So maybe we should have another holiday in May. With Memorial Day. I like that. But, so we have here, pilgrims came, Protestantism developed, then you had these different churches coming out, believing different things because the Bible is freely taught, America is established, Revolutionary War happened, America becomes a recognized nation, then in the 1800s, you have what's called the Second Great Awakening. In that time period, Christian movements thought that they could transform society. So you had anti-slavery movements. You had temperance movements. Temperance is banning alcohol and tobacco because they recognized that alcohol was contributing to families being destroyed at that time, as it is today. They had health reform. They had all these different movements with Christian principles. And within that second great awakening came what's called the Millerite movement. And we know that Millerite movement in 1844, they predicted that Jesus would come, but there was a great disappointment. But in the shattered remnants of that Millerite movement coalesced to the Seventh-day Adventist movement that was founded in 1863. A small pocket of believers in the northern United States that began in New England, then in Michigan, now is to the whole world. It is incredible. Almost humanly impossible that a group, a small group founded by teenagers and young adults, relegated in New England, then in a little bit of Michigan, in a space of 100 years, is now worldwide. Absolutely impossible, unless it is from God. Amen. And so God established the United States so that Protestantism would develop freely to incubate his last remnant prophetic church to preach the gospel to all the world for the next superpower nation to come on the scene, which is the permanent superpower nation, which is the eternal superpower nation, which is the kingdom of heaven. In fact, notice what Inspiration says in Maranatha, page 193, of the purpose of an asylum for refugees. Notice what Inspiration says. The Lord has done more for the United States than for any other country upon which the sun shines. Here he provided an what? Asylum for his people where they could worship him according to the dictates of conscience. God designed that this country should ever remain free for how many people? All people too. Worship him in accordance with the dictates of conscience. He designed that its civil institutions and their expansive productions should represent the freedom of gospel privileges. That is the purpose of the United States of America. Amen. So that the truth can be coalesced and established, so the Seventh-day Adventist Church can rise to prepare a people for Jesus to come. Amen. This nation was prophetically established. And also this, notice, free for all people. That means Muslims that are escaping ISIS. That means Buddhists that are escaping oppression from communism. That means all religions. This nation is established so that people have the freedom to choose God or to reject God, because God is one of choice and not of force. And so there was a secret power to the prosperity of the United States of America, because it's incredible. Just like the Advent movement was incredible, that was relegated to a group of young people that expanded to the whole world, the United States was founded by a group of merchants and farmers and some nerdy philosophers. With no professional army that defeated the most powerful nation on earth. That is by God's providence that that happened. And there is a secret power behind the United States. What was the power that lay behind the United States? Notice what Inspiration says. Great Controversy, page 441, paragraph 1. And the Constitution guarantees to the people the right of self-government, providing that representatives elected by the popular vote shall enact and administer the laws. Freedom of religious faith was also granted, every man being permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his conscience. Republicanism is that the people can elect leaders on their behalf, and if they don't do a good job, you can vote in new leaders. That's republicanism. And Protestantism, what is Protestantism? You can believe however you want by studying the Bible for yourself. You have a mind, you know God, by your own personal relationship that you arrive in truth. So yeah, republicanism and Protestantism became the fundamental principles of the nation. These principles are the secret of its power and prosperity. The oppressed and downtrodden throughout Christendom have turned to this land with interest and hope. Millions have sought its shores, and the United States has risen to the place among the most powerful nations of the earth. So what made America great was freedom for people to come here to worship freely. You want to make America great again? Allow it to continue to be a beacon for religious liberty for those that are oppressed to come here to worship freely. That's what makes America great. Prophetically, from the Bible. And so, what will ultimately happen to the United States? Notice what the Bible says in Revelation 13:11. The Bible says this, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth," represents the unpopulated area. Beast represents a kingdom or a nation. "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." So we have established that the United States, in its infancy, in its incubancy, when the pilgrims came, it was established with Protestant ideals. It was Christian. Lamb represents Jesus. So it came and established Christian, true Christian principles, not false Christian principles. False Christian principles forces people to believe against their will. True Christian principles love their neighbor as their self, and they give people a choice, an invitation, not by force. Amen. And so it came out like a lamb, two horns like a lamb, but spake as a dragon. Now, what does a dragon do? Notice how the Bible interprets itself. The Bible says this in Revelation 12:13, the dragon persecuted the woman. So the dragon persecutes. And what else does the dragon do? Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. The dragon is angry with the church. And went to make war. Make war. The dragon declares war against the remnant of her seed, which keep the commands of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, unfortunately, this nation will ultimately become intolerant and be a persecuting power that will declare war against God's people. Now, we know in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says this, that the dragon sought to kill the man-child. And we know that what government sought to kill Jesus when Jesus was born? What was Herod representing? Rome. So, it's interesting how Rome parallels with the United States. Rome began as a republic. Then, it devolved into an empire. But even though it was an empire, it overextended itself, and there was a lot of internal strife within, and outside forces were battling Rome, and Rome decayed from the inside and the outside. People were more concerned about going to the theater and going to watch gladiator games than working hard and making an industrious living. It was corrupt from the inside and the outside, and it fell apart. The morals were going down. Natural disasters were happening. Sound familiar? Yeah. Ultimately, Rome devolved into ceding to papal Rome, where the papacy came in and took over the ashes of the Roman Empire and established an institution of church and state. The United States Republic. The United States today has a bit of imperial empire characteristics. The United States ultimately will also secede to papal Rome. History is repeating itself. And so the dragon persecutes, and the dragon is wroth and declares war against God's people. The dragon persecutes. What is the root of persecution? What is the root of persecution? What is the motive behind persecution? Why do nations persecute? I would argue the root of persecution, the motive behind persecution, is intolerance. You're intolerant towards someone different from you. You're intolerant to a different nation. Therefore, we're going to persecute or destroy you. That's the root of persecution. And notice what Inspiration says. Great Controversy, page 442. About persecution and intolerance. "Such action would be directly contrary to the principles of this government, to the genius of its free institutions, to the direct and solemn vows of the Declaration of Independence, and to the Constitution. The founders of the nation wisely sought to guard against the employment of secular power on the part of the church, with its inevitable result, intolerance and persecution. Only in flagrant violation of these safeguards to the nation's liberty can any religious observance be enforced by civil authority. But the inconsistency of such actions is no greater than is represented in the symbol. It is a beast with lamb-like horns in profession, pure, gentle, harmless, that speaks as a dragon. So the prophet of the Lord says that intolerance is connected to persecution. And our nation right now, be it the left or the right, is intolerant. It's growing intolerant. So if we are subscribing to a political party, we are in trouble. Because both sides are leading this nation to the precipice of intolerance and persecution. You see, you have the Democrats or the liberal left. And in Daniel chapter 11, you have what's called the King of the South. Now, the King of the South is represented by Egypt. Egypt was a kingdom that denied the true God. Egypt was a nation of hedonism. Egypt represents secular humanism, licentiousness. Do whatever you want. Do whatever what feels good. We'll give God out of the equation. Human beings can educate themselves and be better by their own strength. That's secular humanism. That is the spirit of Hollywood. That's the spirit of the liberals. That is the spirit of the left. If you believe the Bible, you're old-fashioned. If you believe marriage is between a man and a woman, you're a bigot. If you're trying to establish a Christian club in one of our UCs, University of California systems, then we're going to give you a hard time. Persecution from the left. But the Republicans or the right is no better, because the right, the conservative, is the King of the North. The King of the North in Daniel 11 represents Babylon. Babylon evolves into Rome. And Babylon and Rome, the King of the North, represent a system of church and state. And so you have the papacy and the merger of the church and state. And we have here in our present administration, we have our own administration right now very, very closely tied to evangelical Christians who want to legislate morality. So in the left, you have persecution because they're against our morals and what we stand for as a people. On the right, you have persecution because you have the administration catering towards a very group that wants to influence government in their agenda to make a Christian nationalist nation that is intolerant against every other religion and where Christianity supersedes all by government support. And where does Seventh Day Adventists fall in? We're stuck in the middle because we attack both from the left and the right. But sadly here today, we have Seventh Day Adventists either supporting this social justice without medical missionary work, because true social justice is medical missionary work. That's the social justice that God has ordained to give us. Or we subscribe to this thinking because morals are declining, because abortion and all these moral decline is happening, we need to support this because God ordained this to happen. Both is wrong. And so, what does this power ultimately do? Revelation 13, 12. The Bible says this. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So, the lamb-like beast exercises all the power to the first beast and causes them to worship the first beast, which is the papacy. And how does the lamb-like beast cause the earth to worship the papacy? Verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Forced worship. You know what makes the mark of the beast the mark of the beast? Listen very carefully, brothers and sisters. I might sound like an apostate, but I'm not. The mark of the beast is the mark of the beast not because of a certain day. It is because of the forced worship of that certain day. That's what makes the mark of the beast the mark of the beast. Notice, as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So if someone is worshiping on a different day today, they don't have the mark of the beast, amen. But when you're forced to worship against your will on that day, that is the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is forced Sunday worship. And so, the United States develops into a worldwide superpower after the Civil War. In 1863, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was established formally during the Civil War. And after the Civil War, America starts expanding completely from the East Coast to the West Coast, fulfill what's called manifest destiny. And after that, as it approached the 20th century, it started to expand outside the United States to Cuba, to Puerto Rico, to Guam, to the Philippines, and America starts expanding to an empire. Parallel to the United States expansion to the rest of the world, the Adventist Church was established in 1863, and it started to expand from the east to the west, and it expanded as America expanded to the rest of the world. Adventism expanded to the rest of the world. As America became a worldwide superpower, the Seventh-day Adventist Church started expanding to a worldwide church. So God established this nation so that the Adventist Church would become a worldwide church to prepare a people for Jesus to come.
Amen.
And as the United States was developing into a worldwide power, what other worldwide power was developing? Notice what the Bible says in Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says this: "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment has come, and worship him that made the heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters." The first angel's message. And so the everlasting gospel was preached to all the world. So the Adventist Church starts expanding to Europe with J.N. Andrews. And then, in late 19th century, to China, to Japan, to Korea, to the Philippines, to Latin America. And so this everlasting gospel, this church, was developing into a worldwide movement as America was developing into a worldwide power. And the message of the everlasting gospel is this: fear God. What is fear God? Proverbs 8:13. Fear God is to hate sin. We only hate sin when we love God. Amen. You know what true fear is? When you hurt or disappoint someone that you love. The fear of God is hurting or disappointing God. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment has come. What is God's judgment? Is the investigative judgment since 1844. If you look at Great Controversy, what is the basis of the investigative judgment? Whether or not you repented of your sins. Because when you repent of your sins, God is seeking to forgive and forget your sins. You get the merits of salvation. So the whole point of investigative judgment is this: whether or not you truly repented of your sins. It's a gospel-based message. His judgment hour has come, and worship him that made the heaven and sea and the fountains of water. To acknowledge God as our creator. God brings something out of nothing. God will bring our lives from nothing into something.
Amen.
And so the Adventist church became a worldwide movement. Now what is the message being preached? Matthew 24, verse 14. We know this. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So a kingdom is a nation. Now a nation has laws. A nation has a government. What does a nation need, even though it has laws and government? What does a nation need in order for it to function? People. A nation needs people. So the worldwide message is an invitation for people all around the world to receive and become citizens of God's kingdom. And there's no quota in immigration in God's kingdom. The Lord is willing not that any should perish, but that all come to repentance.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. The United States developed into a worldwide power because of its military might, its political might, but also there's an element that makes the United States very popular. It's its popular culture. You go all around the world, American movies are everywhere. In fact, in my U.S. history classes, I teach on these subjects that the United States is fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I have a lot of international students from the Far East, from China and Vietnam, and they're communists. And I told them this straight up: the fact that you wear Captain America t-shirts, The fact that you were Avengers and Iron Man and you watched those movies show that America has won. America's already defeated you. Captain America is a symbol of the United States. Superman is a symbol of the United States. And when we have communist kids wearing this paraphernalia, it already shows that America's already won. So don't ever think about the media noise that these nations will overthrow America. They will not overthrow America because America already defeated these nations by their minds and their hearts. But likewise, as United States expanded, so too Adventism expanded. So you have two parallel tracks. You have a worldwide nation and a worldwide church. So a nation needs people in order to function. Notice what this pen of inspiration says in Evangelism, page 570. I find this very fascinating. God would be pleased to see far more accomplished by his people in the presentation of the truth for this time to the foreigners in America than has been done in the past. As I have testified for years, if we were quick in discerning the opening providences of God, we should be able to see in the multiplying opportunities to reach many foreigners in America a divinely appointed means of rapidly extending the third angel's message into all the nations of the earth. God in his providence has brought men to our very doors and thrust them, as it were, into our arms that they might learn the truth and be qualified to do a work we cannot do in getting the light before men of other tongues. So immigration, the purpose behind it, in God's eyes, is so that people can learn the everlasting gospel in a place of freedom and then teach it to their family members back in their home nations. Now, I'm not going to debate illegal and legal immigration. That is for the politicians and that is for government to decide. The fact of the matter is undocumented immigrants are here. And what Satan meant for evil, God convened it for good. And so because they are here, we have an opportunity to share with them the everlasting gospel. Amen. Not to turn them in. Amen. Amen. We have an opportunity to minister to these people. In fact, when I was in Hawaii, I learned of this special young Hawaiian man. His name was Henry Opokahaha. He was an orphan Hawaiian who ended up in New Haven, Connecticut, where Yale University is. His parents were murdered by a rival Hawaiian tribe, and he somehow stowed into a ship, and he arrived into New England, and there he was taught English. He would associate with people from Yale University. You know, Yale and Harvard were Protestant Bible colleges back then. As he was learning the gospel, his desire was to return back to Hawaii to teach his people about Jesus. Hawaiian was not a written language, so he was trying to make it in written form for the missionaries so that he could return back with missionaries to teach them about Jesus. But at the age of 26, he contracted typhus fever and he died before he could return. But in his death, these New England missionaries came to Hawaii to teach the people about Jesus. God brings people here so that they can learn to expand the ministry of the everlasting gospel of the third angel's message to all the world. That is God's divine plan. So how should we preach to add to this kingdom? Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. I'm almost done. The Bible says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So how do we preach the gospel? Preach it to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, freedom from sin. Amen. To heal the brokenhearted, that Jesus can heal us from our brokenness because we're all broken people. To recover the sight of the blind, to give them new eyes, that although this world is dark and dreary, that we can see the eyes of glory, the eyes of Jesus, that soon and very soon, God will make all things beautiful in this time. Amen. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, we have to preach a prophetic message. That is the message to invite people to be added to God's kingdom. And Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7, we expand on this. Is not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring to the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? And Isaiah 58 is this chapter on Sabbath reform. And a connection with that to help the oppressed. Now, our church is doing a wonderful work called Pathways to Health. Free medical care in different communities where no questions asked, we will treat you and heal you. That is the ministry of Jesus. And we as Seventh-day Adventists have a solution to life's problems outside of politics. For homelessness, there's a lot of Adventists with wealth. We could establish food factories. You know, Beyond Meat is very, very lucrative. Vegetarian meat is very lucrative right now. Let's do what we fail to do. Establish these businesses and hire homeless people to get back to their feet, to give them job training. Because the spirit of prophecy says giving them food and giving them water is temporary. The true solution is make them self-sufficient. We can establish businesses to help the homeless. Abortion is a huge issue. Abortion is a moral issue. And instead of going to government and seeking bans on abortion, regardless of that, you could do that if you want. Seventh-day Adventists can build orphanages to give them an alternative. How many orphanages are there in the United States of America? We should establish orphanages in America to give them a loving environment so that people will have an alternative instead of abortion, but to give them up to an orphanage that will give them godly homes where they can have a happy life. And we can have that ministry. In fact, I've returned from South Korea this last March. There is a missionary named Mrs. Grace Rue. Her husband was a doctor, an Adventist doctor. After the Korean War, you had many illegitimate children fathered by American soldiers and Korean women, and they were considered outcasts. If there was abortion then, they would have been aborted. But Dr. Rue's wife, Grace Rue, established an orphanage where thousands of orphans were led to godly Christian homes all around the world. We too can do the same here in dealing with abortion. Drugs and alcohol. We have a drug and alcohol problem. We have the medical missionary work. And we have the message that God can give you victory over sin. We could address life's problems by the preaching of the gospel and the ministry that God has given us. Crime. We have a problem with crime. We could teach them the law of God, to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus has already given us a solution to the problems of this nation. Why resort to politics when it will fail? So what will happen once there is a people for God's kingdom? Notice what the Bible says in Daniel 7:27. The Bible says this. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. God does not only invite you to be a citizen of his kingdom, God gives you his kingdom. Amen. There's a difference. You know, we think we go to heaven, we're going to be citizens of heaven, residents. No, God is making you co-rulers with him. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says this, that Jesus will share his throne with us. A throne is a seat of authority, and you and I are invited to rule the universe with Jesus. That's a beautiful invitation. And so this gospel is preaching that a superpower nation, the true land of the free, free from sin, the true home of the brave, will be established forever, which is the kingdom of heaven that will never decay. Free housing in a gated community. Free health care, eternal life. Free food, the tree of life. It's not socialism, it's God. Amen. And what is the characteristics of this nation? Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God is going to establish a superpower nation free from sin and its oppressive consequences. So God ordained the United States to be established for religious liberty, for the Advent movement to rise, to preach the everlasting gospel to all the world. That is the purpose of the United States. But soon, the United States will repudiate every element of its constitution because of the spirit of intolerance, both from the left and both from the right. And it'll speak as a dragon. The United States developed into a worldwide superpower. The Seventh-day Adventist Church developed into a worldwide movement that declares that Jesus is coming soon and establishes kingdom and nation on this earth forever. One will morph from freedom to intolerance. The other will advocate for liberty of conscience and of a heavenly kingdom free from sin and its oppressive consequences. God established this great nation as an asylum for religious liberty. But her probation will close once she repudiates the Constitution. You see, what causes a nation's probation to close is how it treats God's people. You look at Sodom. When was Sodom's probation closed? It was not simply because of its immoral lifestyle. Sodom's probation closed when the citizens of Sodom sought to invade Lot's home and take the angels. When they sought to persecute and destroy God's people, that's when Sodom's probation closed. The angel says, we had enough, we're going to destroy the city. That was the point of no return. What was the point of no return for Babylon? When Belshazzar was seeking to dishonor God in his kingdom, that was the point of no return. What about the Jewish nation? What happened? Well, how did it close its probation when it stoned Stephen and sought to destroy God's people? What was the point where Rome's probation closed? When it persecuted God's people. And it fell. And when will the probation of the nations on the earth close? When they sought to destroy the remnant church in a small band before Jesus comes. That's when probation closes. But we have an opportunity here today in freedom to declare something better. The true land of the free and the home of the brave. Where we could be declared to have asylum here in our church, to the route to be citizens in the kingdom of heaven, to be part of God's government, to rule with him forever. Amen. In closing, I'm going to read this statement from one of my favorite Adventist authors, A.T. Jones. He writes this. Patriotism, then, being love of one's country and the heavenly country being the Christian's country, Christian patriotism is nothing else than love of the heavenly country. Amen. The laws of men do not supersede the laws of God. And so today, God is inviting us to be part of his true nation, the true land of the free and the home of the brave. And God has established this great nation to be a nation where freedom of thinking and religion would develop so that the Advent movement will declare the message to the whole world. So that we could then invite all the world to become citizens of his kingdom. And God has brought people to the shores of this nation so that they have the opportunity to hear the gospel preached to all the world. And I got back from Honolulu and Waikiki, and I noticed this. You have people from all around the world in that one little segment, that one little piece of beach. People from all around the world there. What a great opportunity to reach and teach them about Jesus. God is bringing in so many people for us to finish this work. Not only by going overseas missionaries, but even doing ministry here in Los Angeles, in New York, in the great cities of the day. And God is inviting us to be representatives of his kingdom, to be ambassadors of his nation, to invite people to his embassy here in this church, to gain citizenship so that we can enter in together in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. The true superpower nation is coming. It might be painful situations right now going on in this nation, but God will make all things beautiful in his time. And he calls us to be patriots of the heavenly nation. Our Father and God in heaven. Father, we thank you for establishing the United States of America as a beacon of religious liberty and freedom, to draw people from all around the world to learn about your truth. And Father, we just ask that you be with those that are suffering. And we just ask that you be with people from both sides of the spectrum, those that are on the left and the right. May they find mercy and truth and tolerance of one another. And may they truly find you, one of mercy and justice. And Father, we just ask that each and every one of us be faithful to our calling to be ambassadors to thee. That we be representatives of your kingdom above every other nation or government that we are connected with. And brothers and sisters, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there someone today that says, Father, today, I want to represent your nation. I want to be a patriot of your nation. I want to receive citizenship of your nation to invite others to become citizens of this great nation called the Kingdom of Heaven. If that's your desire, I ask that we stand to seal our commitment, if that's your desire here today. That today, we want to be representatives and ambassadors of the Kingdom of Heaven to align our patriotism to the government of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we are standing here today, and I am standing to be naturalized as citizens of your kingdom and to be commissioned to be representatives and ambassadors for your kingdom, to declare to the whole world an invitation for people to become citizens of the greatest nation in the history of this universe, which is your government. And so, Father, today we are standing to give us wisdom in our own individual spheres of influence to do our part to invite people to be citizens of your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.